Hello, beautiful mortals. It is Friday, September 27th at 7:38 p.m., and let's do the quick weather report. It is 17 degrees Celsius, and it is cloudy, and there is zero precipitation. It really feels like 16, and apparently you can see for 19 kilometers. There you go. Okay, so I'm going to do something that I'm really scared to do, but want to do and have wanted to do for a long while. And that is, I am so nervous about this. Dear Hater Nation, aka Empowerment Corner, I will start by saying that I deeply appreciate your voices resonating above the cacophony of head-shakingly aggravating gaslighters. Please never change your volume of truth. One voice in a blizzard may not be heard, but each voice that shouts in time will be added to that power. We can create change. I've been watching different ones of you for several years, but always either lurking or in an account that I no longer use. It's nice to know that there is some stability in my world, even if we likely never meet more than on this virtual series of tubes. Stability to me is not a glib statement. This year, 2019, marks the first time in well over a decade when I have had only one place to put my pillow. No sleeping on a couch in a disagreement, no hoping that a heat doesn't kick in because the smell of the mold and other ghastly odors are permeating through the carpets of the motel that you're trying to merely exist in. Trying to figure out where to go next in your life, having been made homeless yet again by a series of bad days. I'm going to try to give you a very quick story time, but if you come this far, you probably know that my story times are a little bit longer than I expect. I really hope that it doesn't turn too Tolstoyesque in length. Welcome to the oversharing portion of this. Please watch your steps. It does get messy, but I shall do my earnest to withhold any extreme TMI. My mom hid her pregnancy by doing what she called cocktails. Vodka, codeine, lorazepam, and other medications that I have long since blocked out of my mind. She started smoking a pipe and was able to hide her pregnancy of me, for over 8 months. Add the physical abuse that she endured, catching rubella right before she had me, which I contracted, I didn't have a fun start. I'm going to skip ahead quite a bit. As you can already tell, it's not going to be a good origin story. And yeah, it got a whole lot worse. I'm going to be 45 next month. And my divorce from my final abuser will hopefully be finalized not long after that. I get to start 2020, learning from hindsight. I am excited. You've liked a lot of the comments that I have left on your various videos, and I will be honest and say that it's a bit of a fangirl moment when you do and I get that notification, especially when I'm in a live stream as an audience member and someone says my name, which I will just say I pronounce my name as Pixely, and since I'm the one who came up with it, I'm going to stick with that. That wasn't meant to be passive aggressive. It just meant that I had somebody suggest that's what I should change my name to, like a version of it. And this is me stopping myself. My counselor would be so proud. I'm going to edit and take a step back and say, you know what? I'm just going to read what I've written. Yeah. I feel validated by what you say. I never wanted to be this way. You know what? I guess I've skipped over too much. At some point, I will start a deeper dive into the past that has given me some pretty messed up views about myself, but suffice to say, it's been dark most of my life, and I'm realizing that I deserve that which I desire, but we'll get to that. I was punished for sinning, with up to 5 days of no food or water, or the only water I could sneak was when I was in the washroom or doing laundry. I was incredibly malnourished, and at the same time was learning some pretty... What is going on? I never connected. Oh, sorry. Let me try that again. I just got a notification from StreamYard. I was incredibly malnourished, and at the same time was learning some pretty fucked up eating habits when I did eat. Adding poverty and other abuses, potatoes became my friends because I could cook extra 10 potatoes for dinner and they would become leftovers and I could sneak them up to my room without a trace. My mom, before she left, would wake me up on the really bad nights. And we'd go through an entire loaf of bread with anything that we could put in between them. Because of that, I absolutely love. I don't know whether or not I should put a trigger warning on this. I absolutely love smooth, creamy peanut butter and super garlicky dilly. Ugh, like, my mouth just waters even just thinking about it. Dill pickles. And no, I'm not pregnant. It's just, that was one of the things that I could have the salt and the sugar together, so you get used to having weird meals like that. I never did like the whole lettuce, peanut butter, and mayo thing. That was just gross. And I probably just should have put a trigger warning on that one. I do apologize for that one, because I still think it's gross too. Anyway. When I get stressed, or I fall into one of my really bad depressions, I stop eating properly. And will survive on one meal every few days out of feeling guilty. That's assuming that I have food in the apartment. When my depression gets bad, beyond the first calendar flip, I haven't restocked that meager supply and legit just start to go hungry. My thyroid is screaming in memory. Extreme poverty, abuse, not being allowed to see a doctor about things kind of sealed my deal on my perception of food and my growth and development. I was never rewarded with food, so I don't see it as a comfort. It's a necessity that I can forget about. I'm going to skip ahead from a lot of the hell of the 70s and 80s. I've been called the bearded lady, it, shaved ape. I have PCOS. For nearly 25 years, I've dealt with my polycystic ovarian syndrome. I don't like this topic, and I'm going to try to go through it as quickly as I can, but I think it needs to be said so that there's a little bit of understanding as to why my uphill climb is an extremely hard uphill climb. I get more facial hair than a lot of guys. And that's only one of the issues that I have with why I don't like looking in a mirror. My body dysmorphia is bad. There are some days that I think that I can totally rock a really cute hat, but that's also to cover the fact that I have very thin, fine hair, and that pretty much every day of my entire life I've been able to see my scalp. I can't have kids, and I'm just going to leave it at that for now. Because it's just the top of page two and I'm already crying. So I will say that my current child is a blue beta that I named Coffee Table, or CT for short, because I've never been able to afford a coffee table on its own, because it's always been the least useful, necessary piece of living room furniture. And I haven't been somewhere long enough to get one. I've lived with people that have had them, but sorry, I'm really trying not to cry through this. In just over 4 months, CT and I will have been together for 2 years. The fact that I can keep him and Pharrell, who's a plant, and Jeggy, who's a plant, he's a coleus, so Jughead is Cole Sprouse. And Pharrell was, so I have CT, who is my coffee table. So when I moved in here, I had a home. I've managed to keep plants alive. I've had, come next April, it'll be 2 years that I've had Pharrell, who was originally brought to me in a happy face mug, hence the reason why he was Pharrell. And for my birthday last year, I received a coleus, so obviously his name is Jughead, or Juggy for short. I got 2 succulents, so they were Louis and Lestat, and I have Peter, who is a spider plant, so 3 days from now, I get to celebrate my first anniversary here, and I'm so delighted that I've only had one place to sleep for the first time in years. I'm not trying to be a sob story. I want you to know that the words that you say have depth and meaning to them, and I listen from a place of genuine appreciation and respect. I want to show you as well that I'm one of those anomalies in this fucked up epidemic who does not want to sit in this body any longer than necessary. And so I stand up more, because I want to be better. I also want to validate your perspectives, because there's a lot to unpack with regards to the reasons behind bad choices. Not making excuses, rather, I'd love to give clarification which helps propel me in the correct way, so I'm seeing the issues and never making stupid choices so easily again. I spent 2.5 years living out of a semi-truck, and that's how I started the 2000s. My second feeder, the trucker, who loved that when we stood next to each other, we looked like the quote-unquote perfect 10. He was about 135 pounds with most of his clothing on, and 6 foot tall, and 5 foot 1, and when I got out of the truck in March of 2003, the heaviest weight that I was aware of at the time was 417 pounds. 2007, I stayed in the apartment building for over 6 months straight, not even stepping outside once, or even standing at the security door. I was petrified of a lot of things. So petrified. 2014 was a really hard year for me, and not only did I lose my cats and everything that I, in my writing, my depression in 2014 hit an all-time low, and it was so intense, and at the same time nobody knew that I was going nearly 2 weeks at a time, waiting until a roommate had gone to sleep so I could actually get a pack of ramen and eat it
from their part of the cupboard. Because who is so hungry and so guilty and so ashamed? When I did have money, it was to go towards bills. And I took a place knowing that I only needed 2 months, which was fine. And that place was bad. That place was dark. And at some point, I'll explain that there was light that came into my life that I will never, ever talk badly about. During that 2 month span, I left the apartment 3 times. I need to get it together. I knew for years that I needed to be checked for my thyroid. No one would listen. I was physically turning gray. At the end of 2014, I was able to walk only 40 steps at a time before I was so out of breath that I couldn't even take another 10 steps, literally 10 steps, yet again being homeless, this time living in a hostel. Those 10 steps were to a comfy couch. Instead, I couldn't walk those extra 10 steps somewhere comfortable. There was a rickety old chair next to a rickety little desk, and it was squealing every time that I sat down on it. I have no idea what my weight was by then, but I'm guessing it was well over 400, at least. Come January 2015, I could barely stand up without winding myself. Since then, I have lived in 6 other countries, 3 of which my final abuser brought me to increase his control over me. When you aren't a citizen of the country and your spouse has the sponsorship for work, you're not allowed to work, you're not allowed to volunteer. At some point, I'll go into more detail, but I've never lived anywhere for more than 3 years. Since I escaped when I was 17 from the hell that I was raised in. I've slept in over 100 beds in my life. And that's only counting the ones that I was there for over 2 weeks. Now, there's not going to be a but. I have enough of a but of my own, so I'm going to just skip ahead. I am stable. I am safe. I'm on permanent disability from all the stuff, and I haven't even mentioned half of it. My mantra for a long time: get safe, get home, get a life. Get safe, get a home, get a life. 2018 was me getting safe. In October of 2018, got a home. And since then, I've been getting a life. My trust issues that I was born with are now several thousand generations back in the family tree of my trust issues today. I am mistrusting of overt levels of kindness. I doubt every kind word. I'm convinced that every vile subhumanite that I have left behind will realize where I am and try to start something. And I'm learning that it's okay for me to be wary, but not completely closed off from the potential of love and true friendship. I have type 2 diabetes, but it's still it can go into hibernation with proper weight loss and exercise. And that's the good news for me for that. As I mentioned before, I have PCOS. I've got hypothyroidism, OCPD, nocturnal hypoglycemia. At least that's
That's the running theory right now. Borderline personality disorder. I'm going to leave this as thoughts, plans, and attempts to check out early. Manic clinical chronic depression, ADHD, heart problems, agoraphobia can really fuck you up. Fibro, sleep apnea, barely any teeth from years of abuse, extreme poverty, and all the rotten stuff that comes along with that mental state. Like I said before in a different podcast, I will unpack what poverty brain is and why ALR is the way that she is, that supermorbidly obese people have cholesterol issues, back problems, knee problems. I'm going to skip to a good part. You've got better things to do in a day than listen to the life of a stranger. Since climbing out of the horrible 2019 early spring and summer depression that I had after dislocating a knee, I was a mess because I was immobile for several months, speeding up the shame, the guilt, the agoraphobia due to the shite neighbors that were above and below. There's still one up above me, but the ones below have already been forcibly evicted several months ago. The one that lives above me, I'm just going to be really nice and say that he's never been burdened by intelligence. The inability to go far without massive anxiety attack and vertigo because of my agoraphobia and I dislocated my knee. I pulled the tendons on my right calf. And there's not very many obese people that I know of who are 100% graceful. Alan Roberts, Every Damn Day Fitness, I have been watching you for years. Your views that some seemingly insignificant ankle twist could be a death note was the only thing screaming in the echo chamber of my brain. I was determined not to let that be my downfall. Damn, I'm savage even to myself. Can I just not do the puns for 1 second? Okay. I want to also add the fact that I was convinced I was never going to get healthy once my knee got all mangled up. It wasn't the first time that I've had a dislocated knee. Sadly, that's the 10th one on that, on my left side. It just seemed futile. Why keep trying to get better when I feel like I'm just getting worse? I got into that mindset and I'm looking around my apartment now. And I see the art that I've created as my therapy. Knowing for every piece that I have still in here, there are at least 3 others that I've given away. Maybe someday I'll sell my art. But for now, it's cathartic enough for me to just do it. At some point, maybe I'll feel good enough to actually share more than 1 or 2 quick little pictures. I was heading back into a dark headspace. I needed to talk about something good. I had stopped watching the healthy channels on YouTube. I don't have a TV. My mindset was starting to slowly turn. And I needed a kick in the ass. Giving my knee adequate time to heal, knowing my limitations, gave me not only a renewed sense of hope when it started to strengthen, but it relit the proverbial fire under my ass. And I decided that 2019 wasn't allowed to suck. I have come way too damn far. In June, I was weighed and was 321 pounds. I'm not happy about that fact, but I am positive about one thing. 2 weeks ago, I measured myself since I don't have a scale, and I believe that the professionals that I see are more than capable of doing an accurate digital reading. I am down 3 inches around my waist, half an inch around my neck, and my hips are down an inch as well. I really should probably take those measurements again, but I got weighed last week and was officially down to 315. I'll take the 6 pounds, the 3 inches, and the half inch around my neck. And I'm not done. Oh no, I am nowhere close to done. Actions over words though, right? This is me saying, fuck you, rear view mirror. I refuse to be a fucking statistic. I'm finally in a place growing mentally in a good way. Yeah, in a good way. Physically, geographically, mentally, emotionally, financially, that I can get the help that I need. No longer do I have a shite doctor who liked to refer to me as his fat girl anorexic. Because that's really something that you don't want to say to an obese person who rarely ever eats and needs to have her thyroid checked. If only there were some sort of basic, I don't know, like a blood test that I could possibly do to have my thyroid checked. Who knew? Sorry, the sass is gone. I look down and I'm triggered by the weight that I can't get off on my own. I look down and I see the decades of abuse and the physical toll that brings. I look down and see what I have allowed feeders to do, and I'm ashamed. I look down and I see a lost child that I will never have. And the shape of my body triggers me every minute of every day. That no one my size should ever be classed as a role model. I am 5'1", 315 pounds. That's a BMI of 50 fucking 9. I am nauseated to think that there are a growing group of militant extremists who want to equate themselves eating their way through a McDonald's menu on any given Tuesday like it's a tasting menu, a petite samplers, and a moose bouches at the finest Ramsay restaurant. As Orko says, nope. Nope. It boggles my mind that people look at calories as a dare. No. It's not 2,000 calories. Scoff, I see your piddly 2,000, and I can show you I can do 8 times that amount in one day. Thank you, Amberlynn Chantel Reed Foodie 2019. Go sit down and eat a... I hope you've realized by now that I'm not one of those people who will quit. My bariatric surgery will be a hammer in my toolbox. It's also really interesting, the fact that I'm doing this workshop and that's what the homework is to create a toolbox. And I've referenced the toolbox since years ago, that if I ever had surgery, it's only one part of the story. I'm the toolbox, not the tool. I am not a tool. Probably I'm a tool for something, but I don't know what it is. My bariatric surgery will be the hammer in my toolbox. I don't need it to build the home, but it sure as fuck will help make things easier. I know that weight loss surgery isn't a quick fix, and I have watched too many people, including my final abuser, lie their way out of a healthy weight after bariatric surgery. I can get knocked down but literally the worst is behind me. I won't have the worst day ever again. It's been and gone. The same with the rest of the top 5 slots, or 50 slots, or 500 slots. When I first wrote this letter, it was the day that I received my microphone that I'm speaking into in the mail. And I had just finished recording my first podcast that nobody heard other than one friend. My body dysmorphia fucks with me too much to go on camera yet. And there are too many rearview mirror people who are still fairly close in the rearview mirror who I'd rather not be doxxed by. Maybe before the surgery or maybe after the divorce. I don't know. It all depends. It all depends. If you've come this far, I want to say thank you. I didn't plan the full novella that it's turned into, though I really just should not be surprised by this point. I need you all to know that you are all important, and your voices are important, and the words that you speak are important, and I want to thank you for that. After all that, why am I calling all of you at personal? That's a simple bit of detectiveness. Each one of you has found me with your voice, your laugh, your strength, your calmness, and overall, your truth. Sometimes I don't want to go outside, but then I hear Danny Sue say something in one of her videos, and I think to myself, if she can do it, so can I. When I want to make a less than healthy food choice, I think to myself, what would Charlie or Manel or Morgan or Brianna or Justine or Val do? And if it isn't the same choice or the one I envision you making at that moment, I stop myself, I rationalize what it is if I truly want it, and figure out why I want it, and then find a healthier solution. I don't binge, but I can overeat. Since the beginning of this year especially, I started looking for healthy distractions. And in the last 4 months, I've went looking for you again. And what I found was more than just Alan, more than Obese to Beast. I found Charlie. I found Michael. I found Danny. I found Zach, who introduced me to Callie, who is just, bottle that laugh, woman, just please bottle that laugh. And Morgan and Manal and Justine, Mother Goose. I am so proud of this community. I am so proud of what we stand for. And I really just wish that the people who claim that Empowerment Corner is Hater Nation, I really just wish that they would stop and think for a second. They could really honestly be two of the, I was going to say hugest, that's just really mean. Even that's true. Welcome to Chaotic Good. The chaos is snark. I want to be somebody that somebody wants to learn from. Having live streams to enjoy and pull myself out of my own head. And if I'm alone thinking this, I would be fucking shocked if there aren't 1,000 more ears that need to hear the same thing. It is really lonely when you break free from all of the toxicity. I know we owe each other nothing, but my gratitude for each one of you grows deeper every day. I just want to pause and say, if I sound a little bit clearer and not so stuffy, it's because I've taken a second and I've like cleared the sinuses. So it's not me like manipulating the narrative. I don't know why I felt like I needed to defend myself there. Taking time out of your busy schedule to give us a moment of levity, advice on how to accurately do an exercise, counter the negative narratives that are being rewarded by AdSense coins, cosplay and truth, and killer makeup at the same time. I'm just going to put that out there. Seriously, I have never seen a prettier chicken. Just leaving it there. Challenging healthier options. And even just being there to remind us that we're not alone by playing our favorite game. Or doing a silly online test. Or sharing a story time. Or a recipe. Or a morning routine. Even if you are just reminding us that we're not alone, does more than you will ever see. And I know that I'm not the only one who values your existence. I value your existence with a level of gravity. Sorry. I'm not gonna say. No, Pex, that's not very nice. Still wanna say it though. It's a gravity that ALR would probably be jealous that she currently can't maintain. Okay, snark is done. I'm moving on. Because of you, I felt empowered to speak up for myself. I told the neighbor who tantrums when he doesn't get his way that you'll likely hear some point in my podcast banging on the walls. So sorry in advance for that. But no, he's not getting my Wi-Fi password. There are so many things in that one statement. 6 months ago, I couldn't have said that. I have never known that kind of strength for myself before. I can defend anybody. Somebody hurt someone I love that I care about. Let's go to the mattresses. Like, I'm not even kidding you. Like, let's just go there. Because I will defend somebody that I believe in and I respect and I adore. And I'm learning that I'm actually one of those. Because of you, I've made choices that are better for my tomorrows and not just this current nanoseconds worth of happiness. Quote unquote happiness. Because of you, I do 10 more squats. You cannot get me to do burpees? No. See? I am brave enough to tell somebody else no as well. No burpees. Because of you, my mirror gets poor attention. Because I am proud of who I'm becoming. And I've grown to really love aspects of myself that I didn't know that I could love. Because of you, the darkness doesn't seem quite so foreboding. And the hopes that the mornings, they're getting stronger. Because of you, I want to do better. I want to be in this community. I have never wanted anything more than I want to be called a hater. Because of you, I'm not alone. And because of me, neither are you. The following is the list of voices, faces, virtual hugs, genuine laughs, private messages of love and adoration. Caring advice givers, all around phenomenal individuals who bring light not just to myself but to thousands, thousands, and thousands of others. If you don't recognize one, I highly request that you go check them out. And if I missed you, please, please, please know that it wasn't out of an intentional slight. I'm pretty sure I got everyone that I'm currently aware of on YouTube and Twitter. I'm going to do this alphabetically by first name and will only use the online handles / names that are spoken or that are already known. I will not dox anyone ever intentionally. I don't wish to be doxed. And I refuse to put someone else in a situation. Do I owe a loony every time that I say that word now? Let's rephrase that. I refuse to put someone else in a position to ever feel insecure about their non-online life. Alan, Every Damn Day Fitness, Alex Ashik, Brianna Fitness, Kelly, Life of a Free Spirit, Charlie Gold, Danny Seuss, Fat Gauze, Fendi Morgan, Flannel is Bored, Iris. Beautiful woman. John as Obese to Beast, Jay Shell, Justine, Kicking Geese, KDW, K Karma, Kit Kat, Luna Mama, Manal Zane, Michael B. Petty, Michelle McDaniels, Moon Eyes, our love and wonderful Detective Miss Man, Orco TV, Queen Trash, Random Content, Rose is Ranting, Sarah, aka Aphrodite's Peach, Schrodinger's Cat in Pandora's Box. That name alone, like seriously, I love that name. Shivy Pop Val on Program Situation, Willow Davis, Yabba the YouTube Underground, Young Dumb Honey Bun, and Zachary Michael. These are a few of the names that I can look up on Twitter and on YouTube. And if I used any other platform, any other social media, I would be able to find them there as well. I hope I didn't miss somebody. With all of the love and respect that I could possibly give you, the kindness, a little touch of sass, and a hand to hold to walk into our healthier futures, thank you. From the bottom of my ass, because it's bigger than my heart, love you all. This has been Pixely, or just Pix for short. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to go edit this and see if I can actually get it up here tonight. Until next time, be safe, be well, and be unapologetically fucking awesome.